two questions for you right now. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? What and who? What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? You have to be able to tell me, like, right now, are they leading you to Jesus or away from Jesus? Is this ultimately good for your heart and strengthening your heart in Christ? Or is it a form of, it sounds good, but in the end, it's leading me away from authentic relationship, love for Christ and truth and renewing of mind where I am. This is so important in our day. Oh, the church needs to be renewed in mind and strengthened and thinking clearly to love Jesus with such sincerity.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. Today's message from Pastor Robbie continues our series in 2 Timothy and takes us further along our study into a difficult truth, but one that is so necessary for all of us as followers of the Lord Jesus. Pastor Robbie is joining me in our studio, and Robbie, the title of today's message is Health Warning. Can you give us a little idea of what's ahead for us?
Man, have you heard that? Kind of said, you know, in some form, in some way, the last 12 months, basically every single day, if not every single hour. Oh, Lord, help us, right? So, man, I think the essence of this message today, and just I'm so thankful for the timing of this as well in 2 Timothy. As important as some issues are in our day, we must never allow, as followers of Christ, physical health to distract us or get in the way of the all-important spiritual health. Because at the end of the day, the only health that ultimately matters is our spiritual health before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible always tells us and always reminds us, again, there's really two types of people in this world, those that are for God and those that are against Him. Those that are alive in Jesus Christ and those that are not, that are dead apart from Jesus Christ. And so spiritual health becomes the only health ultimately we could ever want or need. And we're going to be reminded again, as I said, of that today. And so again, there is a significant health warning today through this text, and that really should get our attention, and I pray it would cause us to feel the spiritual sobriety that we are commanded to have, but the urgency too. Why am I living? What am I living for? What am I doing with my life, and how should I behave as a result of my, we pray you would understand your salvation in Jesus Christ. So again, I hope you're sitting up a little straight. I hope that this has encouraged you to say, man, I want to hear this. I need to hear this health warning. So do I. And so we pray in a neat way, you'll be encouraged even through some warnings that the Lord will give. How often He loves us as He rebukes us and as He corrects us, as it says even in 2 Timothy 3 itself. And so again, delighted that you are with us. Just always reminding, keep letting us know how the Lord is working in your life. It encourages the team here at Live in the Light. We need your prayers. We need your support. We need your encouragement to be able to continue to do this on this station. So we're so thankful for that and excited to get into God's Word with you today. You are very loved, all those listening to Live in the Light right now.
All right. Now, before we do get to today's message, don't forget to reach out to us, as Robbie said, and let us know how Live in the Light has been encouraging you. As he said, and we all agree, we would love to hear from you. You can do that through our website or phone number, and all of those details will be available for you at the end of today's program. All right, well, let's go to today's teaching and join Pastor Robbie for a health warning in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 14.
Wonderful to see you. Prayers of sincerity to our God. If you would open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, that would be such an encouragement. Listen, whether you're here, whether you're watching online at home right now, let's honor the Lord by honoring His word. Let's have a copy open in front of us physically, and let's have our hearts open spiritually to what we're about to do, because this is such a big deal. Our sermon title this weekend is this, Health Warning. It's a health warning. That phrase will get your attention these days, because it seems like the only thing we're talking about these days are health warnings. Fair? Seems like that to me. It's so interesting to me that in our text today, a concept of health is brought up several times again in our passage. Even gangrene is mentioned, but it's brought up in the context of spiritual health, which of course is the most important health. Why? Because strong spiritual health leads to eternal health. Yes, please. So the timing of our text today is very encouraging. Again, with all the attention on physical health. Listen, church, listen very carefully. Listen, everyone in Overflow right now, online, with all the attention on physical health, which has never been more, we cannot let it distract from our spiritual health. Spiritual health, so utterly critical, again, for obvious reasons. I mean, just think right now in our society, think of the mass amounts of signage pertaining to physical health. Like, they're everywhere. I get it. I get it. I understand. Even in our church building right now, there are physical signs pertaining to physical health everywhere. I get it. I get it. And yet today in God's word, we're going to see spiritual signs and spiritual warnings of health put there by the Holy Spirit in front of us that lead to the greatest result or at least protection and provision of God that we can know. And so what a joy it is, again, to pay close attention to today's text in powerful spiritual health wisdom and health warning. A health warning brought to you by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Teach us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Amen. Verse 14. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. That's a warning of health right there. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. That's a good sign of health right there too, and a warning to make sure. Verse 16, but avoid irreverent babble. Why? For it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. That's a warning. And their talk will spread like gangrene. That's a serious health warning right there. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. That's a warning of spiritual proportions. And then verse 19, but God's firm foundation stands, Timothy, bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. All right, here's a health warning today from our text. There's so much here today. It's one of these passages where I'm like, every verse is a sermon. God help me, God help me, okay? There's so much here and trying to get through it. It's just God's word is awesome. But we're starting here today. Health warning number one is this. Church, cease your quarreling. It's bad for you. How's that for simple? Cease your quarreling. It does the body bad, okay? It's bad for you. In fact, it's bad for you and everyone else who's listening. Again, verse 14, remind them of these things and charge them before God or in the presence of God, not to quarrel about words, which does no good, that's clear, but only ruins the hearers. Okay, so if you've been tracking with us in 2 Timothy, going through this epistle, so far, this has been Paul again, exhorting Timothy personally. Timothy, do this. Timothy, don't do this. Timothy, I remind you of this. But now all of a sudden in verse 14, something changes. Can you see it there? All of a sudden we find ourselves suddenly back in the world of the Ephesian church. So now again, because this is where Timothy is. Timothy's in Ephesus with the church there. And now Paul's like, again, hey, Timothy, remind them of these things and charge them. Them being, again, the people in the church in Ephesus. We know what follows that Timothy was up against serious false teaching. Why? Because false teaching is always on the attack against the church. This whole epistle and every chapter deals with false teaching. Really, every epistle in the New Testament deals with forms of false teaching because that's what Satan's always trying to do. So the spiritual health of the church in Ephesus was under attack. It was being threatened. There was a danger confronting them. And so Paul says to Timothy in verse 14, he says, remind them of these things, pointing back to everything that came before really in the epistle so far, but particularly chapter 2 so far. Hey, remind them of these things, Timothy. And now this, charge them before God. Like, that's a very serious statement. Charge them in the presence of God. Bring such weight. It brings such severity. It brings such seriousness to what's about to be said. And notice, what is the warning? What is the charge that is being given? Here it is. Charge them before God not to quarrel about words. Charge them not to engage in useless battles and arguments that is really about self and not about Christ. Timothy, charge them, warn them against the destruction that occurs through through the wrangling of words. The destruction that can and will occur as false teaching enters into the church. Now, we should know this and we do know this. One of the great strategies of Satan from the beginning and now, from the very first sin, did God really say? One of the strategies of Satan, again, is to preoccupy people with word splitting, to get them so focused on ideas and words that distract people away from the center of Jesus Christ. He's very clever this way. He takes them off track, distracts them, and ultimately wants to destroy them. The people that Paul's referring to here, charge them not to quarrel about, it's the people, you know, the people, they're always talking. And if you really listen to what they're saying, they say it's about truth, but really what it is, it's not about truth at all. It's about themselves. They're talking so much, and really it's about self-glory or it's self-deception where they almost sound right. It sounds like it could be what is true. It seems to have a facade, but if you really take it for what it is, it's not about Jesus at all. It's not about the truth of the gospel at all. It's really about self. It's human philosophy. It's worldly. It's deceitful and ultimately takes people away to distract them from Christ and to lead them down a path of self-destruction and total deception. That's one of Satan's, again, foremost desires and strategies across this world. So in the Ephesian church here, there was so much noise, but the noise ultimately was about nothing. Kind of like in our day right now, okay? I don't know if you're thinking like me, okay? But I have never thought more about the noise of our culture. I've never thought more about the amount of information that is coming. And honestly, again, I have to be honest, the amount of stuff I hear, read, or again, see, where I'm like, that is utter nonsense. Like literally, the word nonsense, it is nonsensical. That makes no sense. That is illogical. Like there's so many people saying stuff right now. And if you really take what's being said, the one statement they make is in exact contradiction to the next statement they make. And you're like, wait a second. In the human frame of logic, understanding words and trying to communicate what is truth, those two statements absolutely are false because they oppose one another. And they're like, yeah, we don't care. We're just still doing it. And you're like, what is happening right now? Like truth is being sacrificed on the altar again of tremendous deception. Ultimately, Satan's behind all of this. I mean, this is what's happening here in chapter 2. This is what's happening in our day right now. There's this nonsense. There's a quarreling of words everywhere. And it's leading so many people astray. The greatest example of this I feel right now, again, is the impact of social media. Hey, just consider in social media the mountains of words being offered, the quarreling, the fighting, the debating, the attacking. Think of all the information being spread. It's just, it's too much to count. I think that's exactly, in many ways, what Paul's getting at as a warning and a charge to Timothy and the church he belongs to. I mean, you should be super careful. The amount of noise, the amount of clutter, the amount of confusion, the amount of information being spewed, which ultimately, when received, takes us away from the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with distraction, it leads to discouragement, and then if that's not checked, it will lead to destruction of individuals and souls all over the place, dying today by the hundreds of thousands across this world with no hope at all in Jesus Christ. That's why this is such a health warning. And notice the result in verse 14, what it says here, it says, which does no good. I mean, I love when the Bible's clear. He's like, hey, listen, man, you want to avoid the quarreling with words because it does no good. Last time I checked, no good means no good. It does no good. And then look at the text here. Notice the result, what falls next, notice, but only ruins the hearers. So not only the people that are talking, it does no good, but everyone who's listening, it will ruin the hearers. You know that word ruin there? Fascinated by this week, that word ruin in the Greek, it's the Greek word katastrophe. Almost the exact spelling for our English word catastrophe. The people who engage and listen to the quarreling of words, the false teaching, the human philosophy, the worldly demonic systems of thought or lack thereof, they are taking people away from Jesus Christ. They will ruin the person who sang them. They will lead people into catastrophe for those who are listening and following. I mean, just look around again across our world and just notice how much this truth is being fulfilled in so many different ways. What is the catastrophe? Catastrophe is people wasting their lives in quarreling of words that are ultimately being deceived unto death. Loved ones, and for me, like, this is such an important time to think as clearly as ever. Think. Two questions for you right now. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? What and who? What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? You have to be able to tell me, like, right now, are they leading you to Jesus or away from Jesus? Is this ultimately good for your heart and strengthen your heart in Christ? Or is it a form of, it sounds good, but in the end, it's leading me away from authentic relationship, love for Christ and truth and renewing of mind where I am. This is so important in our day. I can't tell you how many prayers and how my heart is so burdened for each of us, myself and you together in this. Oh, the church needs to be renewed in mind and strengthened and thinking clearly to love Jesus with such sincerity. And again, one of the greatest things that will kill us in this process, that will hurt our spiritual health, is the quarreling of words, which is so bad for us and the church. God help us. It's no surprise then, with health warning number one comes health advice or warning number two, which is this: handle the word correctly because God is watching. So look at verse 15 now. Instead of quarreling with words, do this. Do your best, Timothy, to present yourself to God as one approved. Again, every verse here is just loaded. Approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Are you surprised verse 15 comes after verse 14? I'm not, because the single greatest medicine that there is against false teaching is the word of God properly and accurately proclaimed. This is why Paul says to Timothy, do your best. See that phrase, do your best? That carries many meanings here. Do your best, work hard, urgency. There must be an urgency to your ministry, Timothy. And then there must be a passion or a zeal. All of that is contained within the Greek phrase, do your best. Passion, urgency, zeal, work hard, do your best to what? To present yourself to God. Isn't that fascinating? Do your best. To present yourself to God again in the result that what? That Timothy, one day you can stand before God approved with no sense of shame or regret. Why? Because you've held to the fidelity of the word of God and its proclamation and you've handled it correctly. So just as a church right now, sometimes we're reading God's word and we see it and we're kind of like, it's so good, but I want us to step back and see the forest through the trees right here, because verse 15 is so loaded, but just step back for a second, look at the macro of verse 15. I want you to notice the detail and then the big picture of how much God cares about his word. Like, I want you to, so notice here, so let's look at some trees and then let's look at the forest, okay? The trees here, look at, so handle the word correctly, but look at the buildup. Buildup is this: do your best. Secondly, present yourself to God. Thirdly, as one approved. Fourthly, as a worker. Fifthly, and not ashamed. Those are all the trees. And now the forest ultimately in the end is rightly handling the word of truth, which brings us back further and say, look at how much God cares about how his word is handled and proclaimed among his church. I mean, now you have a better understanding of why we as a church have Bible in our church name and why we're so passionate and concerned over the handling of God's word. Why? Because God is so passionately concerned about the handling of his word. Hey, church, look here for a second. Look here for a second. This book was written by the Lord and he cares about it so much. And he cares that it is devoured. He cares about that it's taught properly. He cares that his children read it and know him in it. Again, I'm just telling you, I plead with you. Every man or woman who wants to grow in Jesus Christ, you can't do it apart from this. There's no way. If you're gonna spend your life on any book ever, if you're gonna have one book you can have, this is it. This is it. All the other great books that you might have, this is the only book you ultimately need. God wrote a book. And he wants us to read it and love it and handle it correctly. And no more importantly than right here in the position that I'm holding or others along with me in the pulpit. Again, it's so important. Handle the word correctly. It's interesting that ancient term had multiple kind of meanings to bring that out. What does it mean to handle the word correctly? Well, the first one's like I'm handling a sword correctly. A swordsman who would able to be able to handle the sword and cut properly and use it as an offensive weapon. Be able to know how to use it. Timothy, handle the word correctly, just like a soldier with his sword. Handle the word correctly as someone would plow the field. Not plowing the field going in zigzags all over the place, but doing it straight. There's an organized pattern. There's a systematic assembling of doctrine. There's a clear line of planting seeds for people to understand and grow in. Handle the word like that, Timothy. Handle the word as one might dissect and arrange the word. As a priest would dissect and arrange an animal for sacrifice. Again, the person who handles the word correctly is to dissect and arrange to be able to present this to the people in the right fashion. They may understand and grow. One of the last meanings, again, for handling it correctly is to allot to each other their portion. The ability to say, this portion again for you right now, this is what you need and this is what you can feed on, and allotting and again, and organizing and taking the doctrines and how they apply and teaching them and all that. It's just beautiful to understand. This is what it means to rightly handle the word of God. I mean, think about how much hard work that takes. Think of the urgency and the passion held within. Think of the devotion for God and the love for his truth. And again, Just notice how much God cares about his word. Think of this too, how correlated, again, the health of the church is to the handling of God's word. Here are a few more kind of illustrations, metaphors, examples that the Bible talks about the health of the word in his people. Notice how healthy God's word is. The Bible is like water that washes us. There's a purifying, a cleansing, a cleaning that goes on, a washing through the word of God. The Bible's like a fire that cleanses or purifies us. Again, as fire burns away impurities, the Bible is used, again, as a fire to burn away and cleanse and move us to righteousness, refiner's fire. The Bible's like medicine to keep us from the sickness of sin. I've stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Look at all the health. Again, examples being used. The Bible's like milk. It's part of a stable diet. Was it milk that said it does the body good? Was that the slogan from my childhood? It was. Milk that we nourish. And then, of course, meat as well, solid food. Hebrews chapter 5, that God uses his word that we grow now. We don't stay on milk the whole time, but we have solid food and grow and mature. And as we mature, we discern between good and evil. How healthy it is for the diet of God's word, again, within God's church. Timothy, handle the word correctly. It's so important. The health of the church depends on it. Now think about this, okay? Handle the word correctly that you can stand before God, you can be approved, you don't have to be ashamed. There won't be humiliation, Timothy, for you if you handle it properly. What about those who don't handle it properly? For those who do not handle God's word correctly, they won't be approved. They'll be standing before God and they will feel the utter shame and guilt of the shoddiness of their work. To handle the word correctly, it's like you have a project and you're so proud of, again, and you're so confident in the quality of what you're presenting. It is done right. There's integrity. There's character. You have followed the guidelines. You have done your best. But then someone else, they have something that they've worked on. They've compromised. They've been careless. They've lacked integrity. They don't have character. And they present what they've done. And there's a shoddiness, total shoddiness to what they're presenting. And so many people in our day, at the end, they want the approval of man and society. And so at the end of the day, they'll stand before God and they'll have to present their work. There are people who are professing to know Christ and be religious leaders and have other people that are following them. and they are more concerned about the approval of, again, of current society and man and the favor of people around them. At the end, they will present their work to God, and in the utter horror and in the holiness of the glory of God, their work will go up in flames because it is added to nothing. Like, that's going to happen. Right now, there are so many buildings not very far from us that claim to be a form of church and claim to be some kind of religious institution in some form following Christianity. But the reality is you can see their apostasy from the road. They have not handled the word correctly. And that's going to be a very, very, very serious thing again when the time comes. So all of us should feel the weight of these verses here. We should feel the health warnings that the Holy Spirit is giving. And maybe now more than ever, maybe now, God help us. God help us in humility and love and grace, but in truth. No wonder then for Paul, right? As he's exhorting, he's near the end of his life. No wonder Paul is so concerned that Timothy understands the doctrine of the word of God and the application for it, right? No wonder then in verses like in 1 Timothy, he says this, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preacher and teaching. Like that just makes sense to me now. Because if preaching and teaching is everything, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who handle the word of God and preach and teach it correctly. No wonder he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge you in the verse 1, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, we're going to get to that in a few weeks, one of the greatest charges there is. And he says, Timothy, preach the word. No wonder he says this. Because the health of the church is so closely tied to the health of the word of God being proclaimed at the pulpit and then beyond in all the ministries and the people that represent the church as well. You can just like, Paul is so concerned about this because again, it will indicate the health of the church so, so significantly because everything else flows from this. Cease quarreling, handle the word correctly. Health warning number 3 is this, avoid irreverent babble because it will infect you. It can kill you. Verse 16, Timothy, but avoid irreverent babble, again, rooted in all this false teaching, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. They are upsetting the faith of some. So verse 16 continues here on what? It's saying here are the devastating impacts of false teaching within the church, specifically irreverent babble. Other translations say this. You can look here. Other translations say, but avoid worldly and empty chatter. New American Standard. NIV says, avoid godless chatter, but shun profane and idle babblings. New Living, avoid worthless and foolish talk. Worthless, profane, godless, worldly. You start to get a sense again of the babble that he's referring to. It's the babble that has no ultimate desire to honor God. It's a babble that is rooted in false teachings. It's a babble that is empty. Its discussions in the end are meaningless. Avoid is be alert, watch out for this heresy around you. Irreverent indicates the debates that are being had, which again have no desire of giving God glory.
You're listening to Live in the Light with Robbie Simons. And listen, if God's been changing you and growing you or even challenging you, particularly today, and you'd like a copy of today's message to let that soak a little more, we'd encourage you to visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. liveinthelight.ca. And hey, while you're there, why not drop a comment and let us know how we can be praying for you. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or you can visit us through our phone number at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-5448. Well, that's all for today here at Live in the Light. We hope to see you next time. And God bless. I want to be in the light as you are in the light.